Yeah, Rick Schroeder, take your pants off. Yeah.
He
Got a video game in my pants for you.
he's my silver spoon.
Take the silver spoon out of your mouth. I got something else to put in it. Hey, everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth Season 6, Episode 36. This is a recap episode, and we want to thank everybody that came out to Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia yesterday. I think we're all having pizza hangovers today. I know I am. Jeez, I ate so much pizza. Pizza and brownies and Jeff's Ritz cookies and Steph's cupcakes.
They were bundt cakes.
Or bundt cakes, yeah, but they were little mini bundt cakes.
They were slop cakes.
And the Biscoff cookies that the guy from the airport.
Delta guy?
Yeah.
Jeff Peterson. That was good.
Yeah. Jeff Peterson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a lot of people to thank. And if you weren't there, you really missed out. But if you were there, wow, I didn't expect that kind of a crowd to turn out on a Sunday afternoon in the middle of a pandemic.
People are ready to get out. You know there's like, people in Atlanta are ready to get out and shoot each other, but people, you know, that we hang out with just wanted to go have some pizza and bullshit.
Yeah, everybody in Atlanta seemed to have a blast over the weekend.
Just seemed that way.
Yeah, I didn't get shot at all on my way out there. I was surprised.
I know. Usually you do. You know, you get usually shot.
It's like LA story with people just
firing in the air.
Yeah, just firing their guns out the window.
I would start questioning my worth if nobody shot at me.
Like the mayor of Atlanta just said, fuck it, I'm out. And all the cops are like, all right, we're out too. Have fun. Go shoot people. At least, you know what they ought to do? What they did with the street racing, because Atlanta had a street racing problem for quite a while, is they went ahead and moved, you know, they legitimized it, put it at Atlanta Motor Speedway. So they did the Atlanta Motor Speedway thing for charity. They ought to just, you know, if you want to shoot, just go down to Atlanta Motor Speedway. They ought to do a sanctioned shoot off.
Well, they do like a Thunderdome situation.
Well, yeah, I don't want people to get killed or shot at. I think
they want to kill each other, so let them do it.
Do it
and then
with,
we get paid pay and bet.
Well, rubber bullets or something that won't kill anybody because we don't want anybody being killed. I don't want anybody being killed or shot at in real life. Maybe they could do a virtual thing, you know, like where your brain gets scanned and the person you're really mad at or whatever.
You don't understand bloodlust, Tim. That's not going to satiate a bloodlust.
You need Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Oh,
we don't need another hero.
Master Blaster, run Hampton Town.
Two men enter, one man leave. No, no, no. What was that little person's name? Boy, I have really adapted to the new way of speaking because, you know, the word that came into my head, it got almost all the way to my mouth and I went, little person, that's what you're supposed to say.
What are you going to say?
Whips out 80s slang.
The M word?
Yes.
Master Blaster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Master Blaster. So, yeah, thank you guys very much for coming out. We have so many people to thank, and I'm going to go ahead and let Steph start.
Oh, well, I just want to say, I tried to talk to everybody.
You did. You were very much the gadfly. You went around from table to table.
Well, I didn't know if these people would even want to talk to me. I'd like stop by. Do you want to talk to me? Hey,
yeah,
I'll talk to you.
Talk to you guys at all. They don't care about you guys at all. It was just all me. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I saw a lot of my favorites too. Jeff Lyle, who I love Jeff Lyle. He's great. Him and his fam have the farm and he's an EMT and he's a super cool dude. And
he has a cool
course, found out me and him work about a mile and a half from each other. So, yeah, I see him probably every morning.
Really?
Didn't know it. Yeah.
He's a great guy.
His wife made those really awesome chewy gooey brownies, right?
His daughter.
Daughter.
Okay. And he used to own a bakery, right?
It's like a little restaurant diner situation in Monroe.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
But you know, of course, Fooksy.
Mm-hmm.
The staple. Fooksy was very cool. Chet Shepard rolled up on the set.
Oh yeah.
Tim and Amy Allen, I love them so much. And they gave me gifts. They brought me like this cool little vintage radio and a Starbucks card and
oh, yeah.
This Pickle Rick gummy thing. I love them. I love their children. I just love their whole thing. They're just the greatest. And Michael Thornton and his kid is going to be something in entertainment. That's all I can tell you.
I got to thank Michael Thornton for this hat. I don't know if you can see it. You can see it on the YouTube. You cannot see it if you're listening on a podcast, but it's a 1980s AFC East division champ Buffalo Bills, who went on to win the Super Bowl that year.
No, in alternate
reality.
Cool hat.
Yeah, it is.
Wide right.
They used to make hats out of corduroy, and it has the golf tee thing, or you could put your money or your golf tee in the little flap in the front, or your weed or whatever. In the 90s when people smoke weed. And then Chad, of course, came through big time with the Redbox Troll plushie.
That's a expensive item, I'm sure.
I know it is, and I appreciate him giving it to me.
I know Caitlin's been wanting to burn that as soon as you walk in the door.
She thought it was funny.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm. And
wait till the baby play crib
with the little boy there. Yeah, scare the shit out of him. Huh?
Mogul out of it?
Make a mobile out of it. Just hang it over. So, guys, I'm finally alive. I'm a real person. I got a pencil, and I can, touch myself.
God, I keep having these nightmares about getting poked with a pencil.
I feel like somebody's going to call CPS on you, too.
No one's going to call CPS. Look at these nipples. God, so sexy. My dark, dark, purpley nipples.
I still want to. The people that make these dolls, when they got the schematics for this one, they were like, what is this?
Like, what the
fuck? Is this guy going to fuck this thing? What is he doing? What is this thing?
Look, you can shake my pants off. And there's nothing there. Just a nub. So we got to come up with something to do with him because we're going to have him. Maybe bring him back.
Where you at?
Yeah, maybe bring him back to do some movie things.
I think that would be great. Mm-hmm. So to continue on my roll call real quick.
Yes.
Matt Carter, who is, an all-time OG. Matt, I love you. Thank you so much. Matt's always donating big for the Barkville, and he's always helping out with that kind of stuff. Cool dude. Brian Jackson, finally got to meet him in person.
Who?
You're in the Radio Shack, Brian Jackson.
Okay.
He'll be posting like crazy memes and stuff like that. He's a pretty funny guy. We got to swap some stories. And Todd Merrifield and his wife. Todd is like this. He's the king of snark.
Yeah. Holy crap. Is he the king of snark?
He is. So it was great to finally meet him. And we all got to meet Kyle.
Yes, Kyle, yeah. our newest Kyle. Our newest Radio Labyrinth producer / sponsor. He is at the sponsorship level, so we have to come up with something. We had said last week that he could just come on and talk about himself. Hey, I'm Kyle. I'm really cool. And, but he did come up with a solution, so hopefully we'll be able to do that.
Then he reminds you of Dale Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like Dale Jr. Part 2, like standing right there in front of you. And of course, I finally meet Dustin's whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Not his whole family, but most
all of lovely them. Ladies. So cool. Your wife is just wonderful. She's such a doll. You couldn't believe that Dustin has a family. Isn't that weird? Dustin has children.
He rolls in with 8,000 kids.
I mean, yeah. Like, who?
I didn't bring the minibus this time.
Alan Barker and his wife, they were super cool. And my favorite sisters, Rachel and Miranda.
They can put them away, can't they? I like how toward the end of the night, they're like, well, we're getting ready to drive home, so let's switch to Miller Lite.
they're pros. Let me tell you, if you feel bad about yourself, go buy Rachel and Miranda, because they will lift you up. They will tell you all kinds of lies about you. So many like wonderful things, and I appreciate that.
They told me they enjoyed listening to me on Radio Labyrinth, so I knew that was bullshit.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, and of course, Chelsea and Brian, who invited us to their Halloween dress-up wedding on October 30th. So hopefully they'll just let us make it a whole big Radio Labyrinth. We'll just all crash this wedding reception, and we could just...
Dude, I want to go to that.
I want to go to it.
So
I think it sounds badass.
David Harrison, I want to thank for coming out with... he came
Brian
out
Silverbacks.
With Brian Silverbacks. And he... Listen, I got to tell you this. He really pays attention because he knows... My wife, Caitlin, is from Boston. and he knows that I'm a Yankees fan. And so he got him this really cute teddy bear blanket, Red Sox hat, and the Bears, you know, dressed as the Red Sox, and a little new era Yankees cap. And then this really cool, it's like a scoreboard, but you keep track of the age, and it's got baseball on it, and it's like weeks and months. It's so cool. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I got to thank everybody who brought gifts. Miranda and Rachel got a little baby Kiss book. So it's like little baby members of Kiss, but it's really just a visual book for little kids, cause it's got bright colors in it.
What would baby Paul Stanley sound like?
So where I can't really use my baba right now, but you know, it's difficult when you're in a crib with three other guys and they're all wearing very heavy boots. Wah. And so, you know, I was born, I came out of my mother's vagina with a star on my face and my makeup smeared all over the inside and outside. And then Gene came out. He was breached, and he came out boots first and really tore her up with those spikes. That's why his mouth bleeds. And he was also breathing fire, and he went right through her belly button. And then Peter came out, and he fell and hit his head, and he broke his falderol or whatever it is. And so he was replaced with Eric Singer, and then he broke his, and then there's so it's just crazy. And Ace, you know, well, he had to borrow cab fare to fall out of mom. And it's weird because our mother was a cat. Our mother was a giant cat, and it's just crazy. And so here I am, and that's why I paint. But thank you to everybody for all the
Jay Butler came out, drove all the way from Carrollton.
Yeah.
He was out there in his topless Jeep. He was talking about inviting us to his big, if he gets everything straightened out, maybe next year he's going to have a big movie showing at his new digs that he just bought.
Nice. Oh, and yeah. He's got that huge, he said he bought a whole bunch of land, and right, there's a lake there and trees and crickets, and you don't hear the, you know, everything else.
And I just want to follow up with what you said, though, about David Harrison. I meant to mention him, too, because he's like the sweetest man.
Yes,
he is. He's so sweet, and he's so supportive, and he is like one of the biggest fans. He always knows everything that's going on. So I just want to say that again. It was so nice to finally meet him in person. He's such a lovely person.
It was nice of the Silverbacks to give him a ride.
Super cool.
I needed to, but Brian offered to bring him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very nice.
Because David doesn't drive.
No. Well, Let's also thank Mike Hall for hosting
for sure.
And throwing some of that delicious pizza our way, and all the craft beers and all the they really went out. And the two, he had three people working. He had two servers, and he had a cook, you know, like the chef back there making everything for everybody. And he introduced him to me, but I forgot the name. I'm not very good with names, as I've said. I'm good with faces, but no, Mike really went all out, and the food was delicious, and the pizza were good. We had the Reuben pizza, which was delicious. And if you've never had pizza with corned beef and sauerkraut on it, you don't know what you're missing. And then that Cuban pizza was just amazing with the dill pickles and the two different kinds of the pork and the ham.
That was Kim's creation, he said.
Yeah, good job, Kim.
That was a good idea.
If you're out that way in Conyers and you want to get some lunch or some dinner, very family friendly in there, really good food, stop by Atlanta Pizza and Euro in Conyers, Georgia.
His veggie pizza was to die. And then he sent me home a whole cheese pizza for pickle.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, on the way home, I'm coming down Lenora Church, and this chihuahua comes right out in the middle of the road.
A chihuahua?
Yes. It's very busy on Lenora Church. So I pull over, and I'm going to get out and try and get it. So I got a piece of Mike's pizza, and I was going to try and lure him across the road with the pizza. But then this other dude stopped. He looked like Faison Love. He jumped out of his truck, and he's like, "What are you doing?" Talking to the dog, and he got him to come back. Then another car, and then another car. And the big guy, he's like, "I'm a police officer." And we're like, "Well, I mean, cool. I'm glad to have your help," or whatever. And then the kid comes running up. It's her dog. She scoops him up, and he's like, "Do you understand? There's four cars out here. Stop for this dog. Get that dog in the house."
And what'd she say?
She was like, "I'm sorry.
He just wanted some Taco Bell."
But I think I could have gotten him with Mike's pizza.
Oh yeah.
But I ate it. I ate some of it. I put it in the air fryer when I got home. It was exquisite. And then eats tonight,
in the air fryer. What the hell are you talking
about? Yeah, oh, yeah.
Chris put up in the air fryer. I do it all the time.
Yeah, it makes it taste. It's the only thing that makes it taste fresh, even better than the oven.
Yeah, it's better than microwaving it for sure.
Now, tonight I had some left for pickle for dinner. So I put it in our toaster oven that Tim makes fun of me about. And it came out.
Oh, my fancy toaster oven. I grilled mine over the fire. Oh, fuck that. I ate it cold. I put a little salt on that. The pepperoni pizza, I was like, I brought some home for Caitlin, and there was some left over. And I thought, well, I'll have some when I wake up in the morning. Gone.
Baby got it.
Baby was like, it was a pizza.
Can tell Mike that the baby definitely loved the pizza.
Caitlin's enjoying her last couple of weeks of eating.
Well, yeah, a week and a couple of days. Yep. And then, like we said last week, once the baby's born, we're going to go down to one show a week. And then when, you know, I'm back full time, we'll be back to two shows a week. But I'm sure you guys will do a kick-ass job. And
we'll do what we can.
I know you will. I know you will. That week, Steph's going to be gone a week too. So it's just going to be, I hope you guys are Kevin Smith fans, because what are you guys going to be doing?
And we're going to have Roby on, and we're going to talk about Kevin Smith shit.
Right on.
Tell him Steve Dave stuff.
Did you see if you could get any of those Kevin Smith people on?
I've reached out to two people from Tell Him Steve Dave, but I haven't heard back. Although they've both been going on other podcasts lately.
Well, gosh, we were at one point in the top 15 chart, and then we weren't anymore. I wonder
where. Jeff's not voting for us.
Yeah, yeah.
No, David Harrison.
I voted for us today, too.
What?
Yeah, I did, too.
David Harrison. He's the one who got us up there.
Nice.
He admitted to me he's dropped the ball. He's going to get back on it.
You guys should talk to, Alan and Walt and see what they got going on, because they should be getting ready soon to be doing a new season of The Wilder Ride, right?
They have me on as their listener lounge coming up in June, so I don't know. I was planning on asking them then when they're going to start back with The Wilder Ride.
Have them come on. You guys can just talk to them about movies and shit, see when they're going to get back. I think they were teasing me about something. I can't really delve into it, but see if you can get them on. Those guys are great.
Yeah.
And, you know, get Alan to do his Dr. Fauci for you, because it's better than mine. And it's really good. So get him to do that for you. Have him come on, man. See if Walt wants to come on. All right. Well, that's all I got to talk about. No,
thanks everybody for coming out.
Yeah, it was nice. It reaffirmed my faith in humanity, because generally I deal with their, you know, people that won't. And if you went by that, everybody's a piece of shit. So,
well, I didn't.
Very nice.
It seems like everybody that was there was vaccinated or had it, you know what I mean? So whatever.
Except we had to turn Rick Schroeder away, because he.
Oh, he's banging on the door out there. You guys got me worked up. Hey, did you watch his apology video?
No.
What is this? I don't know anything about it. What happened?
Okay.
Me either.
Rick tried to go to Costco.
Yeah, Rick Schroeder tried to go into a Costco. And maybe we can find audio and splice it in here. I don't know. But he was trying to go to a Costco, and he went viral for this. And he didn't have a mask on. And the manager was like, you can't come in here without a mask. Yeah, it's the state law, and Costco goes above and beyond. And then there was a woman in the background just going, Costco, Costco. It was one of those typical YouTube videos, but instead of being some stranger, it was Rick Schroeder. Because you remember that happened to Bruce Willis, was in a Walgreens or something without a mask, or CVS. And the guy said, you got to leave. And Bruce Willis, instead of throwing a fit, went, okay. And he left.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a video on that one.
No, he just went, okay, and left. But Rick Schroeder, he got worked up. And you have to understand that reference is he replaced Jimmy Smits on NYPD Blue and was Sipowicz's partner, right, on NYPD Blue. So he replaced Jimmy Smits, and he was like, hey, get me all worked up. Don't get me worked up. Whatever. I like Rick Schroeder. I think he's a good actor. He's been in a lot of memorable things.
The champ.
Champ. Champ.
Don't die, champ. Don't die, champ. Well, I got to go. My son Ray. It was John Voight got in his ear when Rick was little and turned him into a right winger.
Wouldn't it have been funnier if he did the accent from Anaconda in The Champ?
What accent did he do in Anaconda?
The terrible.
It was like Not Spanish, but
Portuguese.
Yes, so it was like a Portuguese accent. It was horrible.
It was the worst.
You know, I've only seen that movie once, so I don't. It's not that memorable. It's just a big snake
in the jungle.
Yeah,
the snake. He come and it's really bad.
And they use the biggest thing about the whole movie is the fact that they used a waterfall scene. And instead of like playing, having a longer shot that they needed, they just looped it so it went backwards. So if you watch in the background, the waterfall's going up like the whole time they're talking.
They had no expense.
Well, the thing about Rick Schroeder that bothers me is, you know, he was one of those kids who he was raised by a wealthy father, and the father was like had Peter Pan syndrome. So he had all these video games. And when Rick Schroeder was a little kid, he had a train in his house and Pac-Man, and his mother was Erin Gray. You know, first she was like the servant.
You know, 20-something year olds are going to believe this.
Well, it's true. And, you know, he was raised by Erin Gray and Joel.
Jason Bateman was his best friend.
Jason Bateman. Then Jason Bateman moved away and lived with a lady who had been a tutor, but she got fired for fucking the kid she was tutoring. Yep. And she did a year in the pen. And then she and her kids moved to wherever that city was, and they lived next door to Al Bundy's neighbor.
Yeah, and Al Bundy's neighbor lived across the hall from him.
Right. Al Bundy's neighbor lived across the hall from him. And it was weird because he starts banging the My Tutor lady. Oh, we're mashing everything up here.
You are mashing it.
But no, of course, he was on Silver Spoons. Rick Schroeder was on Silver Spoons. That show came out in the early 80s, and it was like kids our age who were the same age as Rick Schroeder. I was like, God, this isn't fair. You know, Best of the West got canceled, and this is what's left. Best of the West came out before that show, right?
Yeah.
What was that actor's name? Joel Murray?
Not Joel Gray. Joel Gray's that Broadway actor.
And his daughter was in Dirty Dancing. You look that up, would you? Look that up, Jeff. Hey, Jamie, look that up. But yeah, and it was Jason Bateman was his
Joel Higgins.
Joel Higgins, that's mm-hmm. right. Is he alive still?
As far as I know. The black guy that was on there died.
Oh, he has a name, Jeff.
And I can't remember what his name was. He was only on for a while. Leonard Lightfoot.
Leonard Lightfoot.
So Alfonso Ribeiro replaced
Franklin Seals, one of those guys.
And Jason Bateman left, and that was an actual spinoff of Silver Spoons, right? It's Your Move?
No, it wasn't an official spinoff.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay. No.
And it only lasted a short time because NBC got in trouble because kids were emulating the scams and such.
Oh, what was that band? The Dregs of Humanity. The fake band. Didn't they create like a fake band? Yeah. And the kid.
They were just pulling scams all the time. Cheating at school and stealing answers for tests and stuff. And
that was a cool show, though. It was very fun.
I loved it. Kids loved it, man. But parents, I guess, were writing letters to NBC saying, my kid's acting like Jason Bateman.
When you say like Ozark is just the grown up version of It's Your Movie, he's still pulling scams and schemes, only people are getting killed.
Yep.
What was her name? Karen K. Yeah, she was a perfect single mother. She was a good tutor too. She was very good at French, and that was her. That was what she was teaching in French, right? Well, now, what do you say? Was that movie better than Private Lessons with Sylvia Kristel?
I think Private Lessons was better.
Yeah, as a film or for like. You know, fantasies and whatnot. Steph, sorry, they didn't have any movies where the guy tutor showed up and banged the teenage girl.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think.
Imagine if they had the guy gets arrested.
There's plenty of those movies now, but they're porn.
That only happened in my teenage fantasies.
Mr. T shows up. I'm your tutor. Take off your panties. I'm going to go swimming in the nude.
Oh, God.
My glistening body.
Stop. Yeah, it was Roddy
my body is glistening. I got my necklace on. I got a hard on. I'm swimming in the cold water.
Yeah, the male equivalent is like that Hulk Hogan Mr. Nanny movie or whatever that was called.
What was that? Space Nanny?
Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah. Take off your pants. Look at me. I'm your tutor. I'm gonna teach you German.
It's not a tutor.
I'm gonna teach you German.
This is my sausage.
You like my sweaty body? Look, I'm carrying a log like this.
Show him your ferret.
Yeah, you want to see my ferret? You see my ferret? It's where it's hiding behind this bush. Yeah, let's remake all the 80s movies with the men in them instead of the women, and then they're molesting the boy. Yeah, my glistening Terminator body wants you to have sex with it. Yeah. Why are you looking in the window? I'm putting on a nightie. You want a cigar?
Alyssa Milano has never been the same since.
Yeah, that's why she. She got kidnapped by Dan Hedaya. We're all over the place here. I don't even know what we're talking about. So anyway, Rick Schroeder. Yeah. Rick Schroeder, take your pants off. Yeah. I have a video game in my pants for you.
He's my silver spoon.
Take the silver spoon out of your mouth. I got something else to put in it. I'll be back. Sorry, that hurts. Not very funny, is it?
So what was his
My friend Jesse Ventura is going to put it in after me.
He's a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus.
He's a goddamn fucker. He's going to fuck you. Yeah!
We were going to find out what the fuck happened with Ricky Schroeder.
Well, Rick Schroeder got in a fight with the manager at Costco and it went viral. But he's basically arguing, you know, these are my rights. Who gave Costco the right? Corporate tyranny. You can't make me wear a mask. The fascists in California. You know,
it's Costco policy. You have to have a mask.
No. Costco reversed the policy, but they said it's up to the states and it's up to the municipalities and things.
So it was more celebrity embarrassment is what it was.
Yeah. Celebrity. Yep. So he did a 6.5-minute Facebook apology where he apologized to the guy that was running the Costco. And then he apologized to the woman who's in the background going, yeah. And because he said something about single mothers. So his apology is basically, well, his policy is basically this. He goes, I have all respect for single mothers. I love single parents, but I'm talking about the system. It's the system that's fucked up. You know, it's like the socialists and the Marxists, and the Marxists are coming in. And yeah, the Marxists, they will come in from East Germany and they'll take your pants off. Don't die, champ. I just want to keep doing that better stuff.
This was all because he couldn't get a 24-pack of Hot Pockets.
Yeah, I got worked up. Don't die, champ.
He was looking for those strawberry croissants.
Those dollar hot dogs.
Yeah. So, you know, he had to apologize. But the video, I thought he did an okay job apologizing. And, you know, what happens is the real world, the normal world that doesn't exist on social media, less so on Facebook because there's older people and more normies on there than there are Twitter. Twitter is the snark machine. Mm. So Twitter, like, oh, he likes Scott Baio. I don't like them, even though I liked them when I was a kid, but they're stupid, blah, 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 blah. And then the younger people, I don't know who they are, but I hate them because they're... I think most people would accept an apology like that, except for I'm not going to accept it because you don't believe in science, whatever.
Oh God.
I'm just tired of all this shit. And you've really reached the apex of, or maybe we're on the downslope of this whole thing when like Rick Schroeder is making news for getting in mask fights.
Well, you know, I'm sick of people using it as an excuse. And I love millennials too. They're great. But this bitch that called me today, she had a balance that she hadn't paid, even though she said she was going to pay on it back in February, still had made no payment. So we dismissed her, right? So she gets the letter in the mail. She calls me. She's like, I just want to say that I got this letter. And like, I can't believe this, that you would just drop me as a patient over money.
Oh.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and oh my God, dude. And I was like, yeah, and it's a business and it's whatever. And she's like, well, I mean, so can I come back? And I'm like, yeah, pay the balance and you can come back. Well, I guess I'm going to fucking pay it. Or I'm going to fucking die. And I'm like, pay it or die. But I'm leaving at 5:00. I don't give a shit.
I blame the news and social media for getting everybody all worked up like Rick Schroeder.
Yeah, I mean,
I really do, because everybody's got this bizarre...
We're in the middle of a pandemic. Shut up.
Weird entitlement thing going on, right?
Yes.
I am more important than everybody around me, and I need you to pay attention to my needs right now. But we don't have time to pay attention to your needs. Okay, fine. Well, I'm going to go tell. I'm telling.
Yeah, she had no one to tell today.
Take your pants off. I'll make you feel better. Everybody chill.
I raped her with my complete ambivalence to her problems.
Remember when I said I would molest you last?
I lied. Sully, take your pants off. What happened to Sully? I fucked him in the ass. That would have been a weird turn for that movie.
You see Radon Chong looking over the side of the car.
She would have jumped. Yeah, she would have jumped off the cliff. I let her go. She had a bum ticker. I forget that actor's name, but I love him in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, me too. Show me your Twin Peaks. Me and that guy with the weird eye from Friday. We'll show you our Twin Peaks. Remember the weird eye from Friday?
You talking about Debo?
Yeah, he was in WWF in the 80s. Zeus. He was Zeus.
He died last year of the COVID.
Yeah, that was sad. Yep. He and I had all the good times. He had sex in Conan. Crumb. All right. I'm not even doing a good Arnold. So. Yeah. One time I fucked Miss Piggy.
On the Tree of Woe.
I did. I fucked Miss Piggy. You know what it really was, though? Frank Dawes gave me a handjob.
What did that sound like?
Yeah. Go ahead. Come on. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Now do Ralph. Do. No, wait. That's Jim. No. Do Fozzie. Oh, yeah. Fozzie. Oh, God. Yeah. Thank you. You're very funny. You should open up for me on the show, the comedy. Maybe you do variety.
All right, now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year, so let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro, serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
Remember when we all went out there when they opened? Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim. Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly.
Oh,
okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. Okay. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page, let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at AtlantaPizzaEuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out. And that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime. Tell us about.
He should.
Backpacks and shit, and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right.
Speaking of Muppets getting the shit beat out of them, what happened on SNL?
That was the funniest sketch on SNL. The Kenan Thompson and Keegan-Michael Key played security guards at the Muppet Theater.
Uh-huh.
Dattler and Waldorf would start heckling. They kept coming out and being like, "Shut up!" And it just kept escalating and escalating. And then eventually they went up to him and just started beating the shit out of him. And then like beat the hell out of Waldorf. And
they the actual Muppets or were they? Yeah.
They were like fake Muppets.
Yeah,
the cast members doing the voices and stuff. And the puppet came up and had two black eyes. And then they tried to throw him out, and they lifted him up, and they saw that they were only puppets, like, and they had no legs and stuff. And they're like, "Oh, we're sorry, man. We didn't know you were vets."
Is that on?
You gotta watch it.
Is that on YouTube or something?
Yeah, I'm sure it's. It was the funniest sketch of the whole night. I'm sure it's all over the place.
Yeah, but it wasn't as fun as getting a hand job from Frank Oz. Yes.
Okay. Speaking of other stuff I watched, everybody watched the Never season finale?
Not yet. I haven't got to watch it yet.
I promise I'll have them all watched by next Monday.
I won't say any spoilers then, but I will say the first half hour, I thought I was watching the wrong channel.
That's Tim's fault.
Yeah, it is Tim's
fault. A different Tim. We won't say last name, but that's a Tim fault there. That's a Tim problem, an other Tim problem.
Yeah, I thought it was a different show too. I had to double check when I was watching, but yeah, it's good. I mean, it makes so much sense. Yeah.
Does it wrap up what happened without spoiling it?
To a point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Leaves it wide open though for more stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Wide open is good.
Let's see what else going on. I watched all of season two of Love, Death, and Robots, which it was very good, but it was short. It seemed like there was only six or eight episodes.
There was eight, and last season there was 18.
Yeah, that's why season one was like 18, and this one was only eight. But they were very good, well done.
Yeah,
I've only seen one and three, and I liked both of those.
Yeah, I mean the animation's incredible, and the different people doing the different styles and everything, and the stories were all cool. But I just wanted more.
Yeah, that Michael B. Jordan one. I mean, it's hard to notice that it's not real.
Yeah,
it looks so much. They scanned him, but man, it looks so much like
CGI. They're really getting the humans down on the CGI stuff.
Yeah, it's really throwing the Uncanny Valley thing.
Yeah,
off.
It's just something about the mouths. They still haven't got that exactly
right
yet, but they're working on it. They're getting there. Let's see what else. I'm watching more Shadow and Bone on Netflix. That's been pretty good so far. I've been enjoying that. I finished the Project Hail Mary audiobook by Andy Weir, the guy that wrote The Martian.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Project Hail Mary. What's it about?
It's about this dude, and it's already going to be a movie with Ryan Gosling, apparently. This dude wakes up on a spaceship and figures out that he's in another solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And he has amnesia. And his memory slowly is coming back to him through the course of the story about how he got there on the spaceship and everything.
Yeah.
And it's a great story because it
read by Seth Rogen.
No, but Seth Rogen has a book out that I'm reading now.
Oh, also. Okay. Sorry. I'm skipping. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's read. I can't remember. I sent Dustin the name.
Yeah, it's Ray Porter. Yeah. Ray Porter. Did you ever read the Bobby verse, the I'm Legion, and it's a whole series about this guy. It's funny that this guy who wakes up and he realizes he's now a computer, like 200 years in the future, he had died and they froze him and they use his consciousness in this computer. And he takes over like all of these computers in the universe and becomes this massive godlike thing. And it's a series of books called the Bobby Verse. But Ray Porter reads it and he's an amazing. He also did Darkseid's voice in the last Justice League movie.
Yeah, his narrating was great, and he did the different characters and stuff. So good. Cool. And this Andy Weir second book, I didn't get into as much, but this one, the third one, is Project El Mary, is just as good as The Martian, if not better.
To check that out.
Yeah, it was very good.
I'm going nonfiction with my next audiobook, Lorraine Newman's book.
Yeah, I finished that. That was good. Not as great as I hoped it would be. It was a lot of her, I don't want to say being a crybaby about stuff, but she's like, you know, all this happened to me and nobody knows about it and I want to get it out there and all this stuff. So it was good, but not what I wanted it to be. I wanted more stuff about SNL. And
right.
Speaking of her, though, her daughter is the girl on Hacks.
Yes.
So good. I watched the first two.
I watched the first episode. Caitlin and I watched it. And she loved it, too. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't see any trailers or anything, but what a good show.
Yeah, I liked it. I watched the first two.
Yep.
So I watched both of those. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Seth Rogen's book, Yearbook. I got the audiobook of that. I'm going to check that out. There's a bunch of funny stories in there about him meeting celebrities and just weird, awkward encounters and stuff he's had with people. And that's about it. Oh, I started watching Antiques Roadshow celebrity version.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, since they can't do like the real Antiques Roadshow, they're taking the appraisers from Antiques and sending the celebrities' houses.
Oh, that's cool.
And like
what is that, on PBS?
Yeah. It's like on when regular Antiques Roadshow would be on. But they like went to Jay Leno's house and
I got some stuff.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Oh, I like this, Jeff. I want to watch this.
Yeah, watch it. It's on PBS. I'm sure you can get it on demand also.
Oh, okay.
And they just like look at the different stuff that the celebrities have acquired over the years and tell them what it's worth. Ruben Blades has both a Superman number one, the Action Comics number one, and the Detective Comics number one. The first Batman. Yeah.
Damn. Where did he get those? Is he buying with money, or has he had him his whole life?
No. He bought them once he became a star.
Damn.
But they were not high grades. They were like 6 and 7, I think, for the grades.
Still worth a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, they were worth a shit ton, like $1 million probably for the two of them.
Damn.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah. So that's been fun to watch. Like some of the celebrity stuff has been kind of boring. Like John Hodgman.
Yeah. What does he have?
He just had a bunch of weird stuff from Maine because he likes to living in Maine now. And
just like bottles of syrup.
Yeah. Like I got this old Moxie bottle and shit, you know.
Moxie. Did he have John Cullum's truck? Never mind.
That was it. But yeah, so Celebrity Antiques Roadshow. It's pretty cool to check out. And my staff pick is going to be coming up on Apple TV on the 21st. It's an 8-part music documentary called 1971, the year that music changed everything. Looks like it's going to be one of those cool documentaries like that Laurel Canyon was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's going to be talking about like Rolling Stones, Aretha Franklin, Marvin Gaye, Bob Marley, Joni Mitchell, Lou Reed, The Who, kind of shit that happened in 1971.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Who wants to go next?
No, I'll go. I've finished the Michael Che. You know, there's only like 6 episodes of it, and the 6th episode was the funniest one. I highly recommend, if you were going to check out any of them, check out the 6th one because it is so good. Watched all of Halston. And good. My God. I love
it. Be delicate here.
I love it because it's, you know, it's super catty and bitchy, and Ewan McGregor is.
Yeah, get to the 6.
He just chews this role up. He's so good as this bitchy Halston. Plus, too, I didn't know a lot of his story, whether it's not sensationalized, Ryan Murphy-ized or whatever. I'm sure a lot of it is based in truth. I mean, so there was a lot of things I didn't know. And it completely took me back. Like when he was shooting the commercials, I remember those commercials when I was a kid, those Halston commercials. And he was so cool with his tan. He was all slicked back and the women and the perfume and all that shit. So I don't know. I thought it was neat, but there is so much butt sex.
Yeah, lots of butt sex.
And I'm fine with it. But I know a lot of hetero males, sometimes they may have a knee jerk or a butt jerk reaction to it.
I might even have a penis jerk.
They There is so much butt sex.
If you watch that Liberace documentary, or you know, the biopic with
Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah, if you watch that, then you're fine. If you can make it through that and not have it freak you out or bother you, you can watch any movie.
Yeah, it's about that. Yeah, it's right in that lane.
That and part when he fucked Darth Maul and cut him in half.
Yeah, that was the worst.
He did do a really good job.
The chosen cock.
He did do a really good job playing this role, and all the supporting cast was, they were spot on. So I recommend it, especially because of the era. The '70s and the you know, early '80s, or they did a really good job with that part. Tim, did you watch Handmaids last week?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Okay, well, I won't spoil it for you then. We'll just leave that off the table.
Go ahead and spoil it. I don't care.
No, I'm not gonna spoil it for you, JW. I'm not gonna do JW. That.
Jimmy Walker, is he here?
You're gonna want to see the end of it.
I don't mind. You beat me. I don't mind movies with butt sex in them. I mean, come on. It's natural. It happens. People are. That's how. What are they supposed to do? Docking? Not everybody's uncircumcised. Let your kids listen to Radio Labyrinth. It's perfect for them.
Yeah.
Someone would ask the kids that were at the pizza place. The parents let you listen. But the best thing that I watched was last night. We watched The Rental.
What's The Rental?
Ooh! This is what's his face? Franco, James Franco's brother, Dave.
Dave Franco.
Yeah, this is his directing debut. And if you ever were worried about staying in an Airbnb, this will make you never ever want to stay in an Airbnb. Okay. It is so twisted.
Is it a movie or a series?
No, it's a movie.
All right.
And it's about these two couples, and they rent this beach house for the weekend, and Toby Huss is in it. He's great. He's the great as the caretaker. And Allison Brie, which is Dave Franco's wife, she plays Dan. What's his name?
Dan Stevens.
Dan Stevens' wife. And man, it's a twisted, fucked up movie. I loved it. Me and Neil both, we were like on the edge of our seats. It's very.
What's it on?
It's on Showtime right now.
Oh,
but it came out at the movies. Well, you know how anything came out at the movies, whatever. But I love good, suspenseful, creepy shit like this. So it was really good. So I highly recommend The Rental. And my staff pick is, I just stumbled upon this podcast. It started back in February, but it's called Bandsplain. And it's totally for music geeks. This the girl, Yasser Salik is her name. And so what she does is she takes cult bands that have, you know, like Steely Dan and The Replacements, Dave Matthews, people like that, you know, that are like niche.
Yeah.
And she'll bring on people who are basically experts on them, and they'll play their songs throughout, and either they are basically trying to convince you why you should love them. Like her first episode was Steely Dan, great episode. And she had only ever heard, these were just songs that she heard in the grocery store growing up.
Really?
And so he is like this huge steel. He used to be the director of MTV News and all this other shit. So he's a huge Steely Dan aphile. And so they would play Steely Dan songs through. They talk about the songs, break them down. And then, you know, by the end of it, she's either like, oh, I guess I'm a Steely Dan fan. I didn't even know. So it's really cool show. I highly recommend it. But it's called Bandsplain. It's on podcast.
They have music in it?
Yeah, they play the full songs. They'll set up the song, they'll play the song, and then at the end of the song, they'll talk about it, talk about the lyrics. Like I learned today that Dave Matthews' band, that song 41, which is one of my favorite songs by him, is about their lawyer. Oh. Yeah, and she goes, it's about their lawyer? Why did you tell me that? It's it like totally ruined the song because it had such a deep meaning to her. And he's like, no, it should be cool to you because it kind of tells you that betrayal can come in all forms, and it doesn't have to be somebody in a relationship. I mean, the guy, their lawyer, took all their money and totally screwed them over, and so that's what that song is about. And so anyway, I really think if you're a music geek, you will love this show. And The Replacements one, which I know you love The Replacements, Tim.
Ooh, The Replacements.
There's a two-parter, which I haven't got to listen to that yet.
Oh shit, all right, well, you know, I'm getting that two-part Replacements.
Mm-hmm. So it's called Bandsplain on Spotify.
Thank you.
Let's see. I watched Nobody, Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, that's
such a good movie. It's it's like Odenkirk, John Wick. Mm-hmm. really good. I think it was made by the same guy that did that first person shooter movie that they made. Was it Hard Henry?
Oh yeah.
A couple years ago.
That was good.
Yeah, the same guy made this. So you see a lot of those same like really cool camera movements.
Isn't that the guy who did District 9?
Who made No, that's Blomkamp.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, this guy, there's one shot where he tosses a gun to someone and the camera actually follows the gun through the air behind the gun. Like it's the weirdest shot I've ever seen. And I don't know how they pulled it off. I mean, literally like strapping a gun to a camera and throwing it to somebody, but little weird stuff like that, but it's a great revenge. You know, it's definitely cool for Odenkirk because you get to see him like really just kick ass, as well as Christopher Lloyd. Christopher Lloyd's parts in it are just, I mean, they're great. I mean, it reminded me of like those really cool revenge movies from the early 80s. So yeah, it's definitely worth watching. Also, Love, Death and Robots. What? Like I said, I wish they'd have been longer. Again?
You broke up a little bit there.
Oh, watched Love, Death and Robots. You know, I watched them all. I liked all of them, but like Jeff said, there should be more. I think they probably did break this into two seasons and just released, you know, 8 right now. And they'll probably release another 8 or 10 in a year because it took them 2.5 years to get this second season out. So maybe they were kind of padding their response to it, but I'll watch any they put out for sure. I watched a movie called The Block Island Sound on Netflix. It's weird. This family owns a fishing boat and there's a father with dementia. And so there's a son that lives with him and the father keeps going out at night to this spot in the water. And he hears this noise that comes through the CB and it's really a creepy kind of gives you like H.P. Lovecraft kind of vibes. Through the whole thing. And I won't spoil the end of it, but it's not what it leads you to believe. It's neat to neat ending, but, it's kind of slow burn, but some of the scenes in it, where the father keeps, cause the father, I'll spoil the first of it. He dies right away, but the son keeps seeing the father in these different scenarios that would pop up throughout the entire movie. And when this guy shows up, it's like all those jump scares you would see where, you know, somebody turns and there's a face, you know, right there at your face.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those. And this guy who plays his father is not the prettiest individual in the world to begin with when he was alive. So he has a very shocking expression on his face and it's real creepy. It kind of reminded me of the same vibe of It Follows. How it would have those weird, creepy stuff going on in the background, but it's on Netflix and it's worth a watch. It's called The Block Island Sound.
Okay.
And that's about it. I don't have a pick this week.
That can be that pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
All right. I watched the first episode of Hacks. Like I said, didn't really watch an awful lot. I'm finishing up the audiobooks that I started a couple months ago or a month and a half ago or even a month ago because I'm sad and I listen to it all the time. But I've continued listening to The Dark Tower, which is the final book in the Dark Tower series from Stephen King. And I never went back and listened to it. And I've listened to all the other ones multiple times, but I never listened to this one because the first time I listened to it was when it came out and I was very sad and pissed off and less sad this time and not pissed off because I get what he's doing. It's an interesting, it takes a weird turn. If you followed the entire tale from start to finish, or at least to this book, it just takes a weird turn and these characters come in and you didn't think that this one book would be as important to it. But anyway, that's what I've been doing a lot of and listening to podcasts too. I did watch Jupiter's Legacy, the first episode, and I thought it was terrible. And I thought, like, I felt like I had just seen a better version of it animated called Invincible, and that was good and action packed. This show, I just thought was stupid. I didn't like it at all. Did you guys watch it?
No.
Yeah, no. Jeff did. I watched the first episode and thought the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to continue with it. The makeup was bad. It looked like it was thrown together quickly. I don't know. Was it a comic book before it was a series?
Yeah, it was a comic book by Mark Millar, and he's a great comic book author. And the show is really good. And you would like the Boardwalk Empire kind of flashback stuff if you stick with it.
I didn't like it. I thought it was distracting. I just didn't. I thought it was terrible. No. I just didn't think. I found it to be boring. I don't know why I didn't like it, but the makeup was crazy. I really like some of the acting, and I like what's her face from Talladega Nights. Right. But I just didn't like it, so I probably won't watch it anymore. The one thing I got into and watched all of them was a 4-episode series called The Sons of Sam: A Descent into Darkness. Now, you think it's just about Son of Sam, primarily the Son of Sam, but it's not. It's about an author who became obsessed with, well, he's a journalist, became obsessed with the Son of Sam crime story. His name was Maury Terry, and he wrote a book that's been out of print for a very long time called The Ultimate Evil, An Investigation into a Dangerous Satanic Cult, which is about my speed. I love conspiracy stuff. I usually try to lean toward the CIA did it. But his connections were all made after he started looking at the various sketches of the people who were, you know, from the survivors of the 44 caliber killer shooting. And there've been so many shows and documentaries about the 44 caliber killer, AKA the Son of Sam, AKA, well, David Berkowitz, who claimed responsibility for it. So this is all circumstantial stuff that this guy arrived at conclusions, and he went and actually met with Berkowitz. And Berkowitz is a serial killer and a nut. So the guy, when he interviewed him, answered all of his own questions, said, is it true that, and then Berkowitz would go, yeah, that sounds about right, without ever confirming it. But anyway, it's an interesting little thing. I like conspiracy stuff. And you know, it's all about this group, the satanic group called The Process, which was spun off of London's Scientology, the Church of Scientology in London. I mean, these people they left the Church of Scientology. I'm not saying that the Scientologists have anything to do with it. They left the church and started their own thing. And it's just really weird. You know, there's all these coincidences, like the Berkowitz's neighbor in Yonkers, New York, was named Sam. And two of the alleged people who were in the cult with him that did the other shootings are his kids. And it's interesting. If you're interested in that, check it out. And so that's it. And I guess that would be my staff pick, but I like all that weird conspiracy shit. And now that the book is available, I just got it on Audible, so I'm going to listen to it. And if you really think I would enjoy the second episode of Jupiter's Legacy, I should probably watch it.
I enjoyed it. I don't know why you guys didn't. I agree that the makeup was not great, but they don't use it except it in like current day times, and I wasn't all that into the current daytime story. I like the old timey stuff, like the stuff set in the 20s.
You're saying it gets a little bit better?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good story, and I liked how they interweave the origin story with the modern day stuff throughout the entire series, instead of having like one episode just be the entire origin story.
Somebody, Eric was talking about me on the Von Hessler Doctrine this morning and plugging Radio Labyrinth. And he said,
he plugged the show, did he?
Well, yeah. He goes, well, Tim says it's a pop culture show, but he doesn't watch anything. And I since, you know, started watching things more. Yeah. That's not true. I watched Jupiter Legacy. And he goes, how was it? And I said, I hated it. It sucked. Stupid. And I didn't really say that, but I said, I didn't like it. And somebody left an open mic. They said, Tim Andrews, we don't care what you think about Jupiter's Legacy. Shut the fuck up.
Was it Jeff?
I know. Should've been me. No. All right. Well, I'll watch the second episode.
I enjoyed it. I don't know why you guys are coming down. I agree. It's not as good as The Boys. It's not as good as Invincible. It's not.
Critics hate it, so maybe I'll like it. Critics hate it, but it's got a pretty good, you know, 75, I guess, percent on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's of viewers. It's not, you know, the glitterati of the blah, blah, blah. All right. Well, so that's my stuff. Let's see. Do we have anything to plug or promote? Let me look at the sheet here. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, we're going to be talking to a guest, next week. We do have a show before that, but next week we're talking to Sean McBee, and he runs the Fandom Limb Network, and we're going to be talking to him and find out all about that and maybe even joining it. We'll see. And then, of course, Jeff and Dustin will be speaking with Roby, and they're going to be talking about Tell Him Steve Dave and the Smodcast. So maybe other things to explore as well. I hurt the shit out of my back during that podcast. I don't know if you saw me react, but I twisted it and it, something popped and I was like, I apologize for you having to watch that. Steph, barkville.org.
Oh, well, I just wanted to start out by saying one of our people that came yesterday, Jeff Peterson, the cool dude, the Delta pilot guy.
Yeah. Mr. Biscuit.
Yeah, slides me $60 across the table and says these are for the dogs. So he donated that to Barkville. So yeah, so that was super, super nice. And I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that. It was such a nice thing. And we don't have anything coming up until the beginning of June, but same as ever, if you're looking, come to us. If you want to donate some money, donate your time, you want to foster, what have you, go to barkvilledogrescue.org. Woof.
Woof. And keep it canine.
Canine.
All right. Thanks again to everybody who came out the other yesterday to Atlanta Pizza in Euro. It was a great time, and I look forward to us being able to record a show, a live show in person there sometime later this
year. Yeah, there was some interest for doing another movie club too, so we should considering that now that things are opening back up.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless we should meet at the Starlight.
Oh, that would be so cool. I don't know how we'd arrange that, but we could always meet there. Maybe we'll reach out to them. I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out who runs it. See what happens.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Until the next show, which will be coming out this weekend, please remember to keep it. Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers, and those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us the longest. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017.
I'm gonna send those
No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the. No, I'm kidding. I don't want the red box troll doll. I want him to have it. But now our program directors, those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018, and John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number 5 on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.